1001, 1002, 1003. I mean, look, we all know how long a second is, kind of. But being precise matters in everything from plane flights to synchronizing computers across continents to measuring black holes. And for that kind of precision, scientists rely on a standard second. Using an element called cesium, they measure the movement of particles inside. And voila, you've got an atomic clock. But we're due for an upgrade. Scientists are working on a more precise second, one potentially measured optically with visible light. Elizabeth Donnelly is part of the effort to find that new standard second. Donnelly is chief of the Time and Frequency Division of the National Institute of Standards and Technology in Boulder, Colorado. Hi, Liz.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So Colorado is home to several atomic clocks, correct?
Yes, and in particular Boulder, Colorado, but there are also some in Colorado Springs.
Explain, especially as relates to the refining of the second, what is an atomic clock?
So an atomic clock is an instrument that we build that can be used to mark off seconds more precisely than any other type of clock.
So why, if we're using the element cesium, to measure the length of a second, why would that need to be updated? Isn't that a fixed value?
Yes, that's a fixed value. And the second has been defined in terms of a transition in cesium atoms since 1967. And it's time for a redefinition of the second because we can realize the second in the International System of Units much better with optical transitions than with the much lower frequency microwave transition frequency in cesium.
This, the redefinition of the second, even though it won't really change the length of a second, it will have lots of impacts on their study of really big issues, I understand, like dark matter or gravitational waves, those ripples in space-time.
Yeah.
What's the connection here?
Clocks are sensitive to many, many different effects. For example, they're sensitive to general relativistic effects. You can raise an optical clock by about a centimeter and detect the frequency change from general relativity. So there's a lot of fundamental physics applications for building better clocks. There's also practical applications as well. If you have a very good clock, you can leave it sitting by itself without calibration for longer periods. It can be useful for, you know, a time base in a remote location if you lose signals from the GPS system, for example. One of the most interesting ones, I think, is synchronizing nodes in a future quantum network where you can send quantum information from labs in different physical locations and preserve the very sensitive quantum states to be able to do quantum computing and quantum communications, for example.
So how do you explain to your friends who do not understand, maybe the only thing they know about general relativity is Einstein, how do you, when they say, what are you working on? What do you say?
The first thing that happens is a lot of them think that an atomic clock sounds dangerous because they're used to hearing about atomic weapons, but it's not dangerous at all.
Right. Okay, so, I mean, I find it all super fascinating, but for the rest of our listening public, how might this affect your average person? Or maybe it doesn't. The very precise definition of a second that you are working toward, what difference does that make?
Well, it will undoubtedly make our critical infrastructure more resilient to have better clocks that can sit by themselves over longer periods. So it won't seem like it affects people in their daily life, but it actually will. The second should be redefined because we can actually realize it 100 or 1,000 times better. But it's going to take several years to go through this process. So right now we're working on validating the roadmap that we will follow, that we've been developing to redefine the second. Because there's currently multiple contenders to be the next atom that the second is defined based on.
You mean as opposed to using cesium?
Yeah, so cesium is out for the optical redefinition.
Yeah. I mean, I get that this is a really difficult process, that it's going to take years. But I'm really curious, when you don't have a clock in front of you and you need to count out seconds for whatever reason, what's your method? Like, are you a one Mississippi person? Are you a one 1,000 person?
I just count one, two,
three.
Oh,
you don't even
I
use
probably
a
have
crunch.
An accuracy of 30%.
Fair enough. Elizabeth Donnelly is chief of the Time and Frequency Division of the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Thank you so much.
Thank you.